Well, Congress is back at work tomorrow with lots to do before the annual August break. Ron Elving, NPR senior editor and correspondent, is here to tick through. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you, Robin.
And it strikes me that it's funny. Like Greece, there's another seeming intractable negotiation on the table with Iran. Let's start there. Six world powers plus Iran have to reach a deal tomorrow on reducing Iran's nuclear capabilities. Here's Secretary of State John Kerry yesterday in Austria.
If we don't get a deal, if we don't have a deal, if there's absolute intransigence, if there's an unwillingness to move on the things that are important, President Obama has always said we'd be prepared to walk away. It's not what anybody wants. We want to get an agreement.
So, Ron Elving, remind us, what are those things that are important?
The six world powers that you mentioned are interested in reducing Iran's existing nuclear fuel stockpile and also limiting its ability to produce new fuel. And they want to create a one-year, if you will, arm's length zone so that even if the Iranians wanted to, they would not be able to immediately shift to the production of nuclear weapons. That plus, of course, a regime of verification and inspection that would be enough to satisfy all of the critics, not only in the six world powers, but also in places such as Israel. Israel is not a party to these negotiations.
Yeah, well, what will satisfy Congress? Because it has to be reviewed by Congress before sanctions can be lifted. And here's Senator Tom Cotton, the Republican of Arkansas, saw speaking yesterday on ABC's This Week.
And this is not just two businesses negotiating together. This is not like Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks trying to reach a contract that makes everyone happy. Iran should have faced a simple choice. They dismantle their nuclear program entirely, or they face economic devastation and military destruction of their nuclear facilities.
So, Ron, tell us more about what Congress is likely to do.
That simple choice that Senator Cotton would like to see might very well have been preferable to a lot of people in the United States Congress, most Republicans, many Democrats, who take the position, like the Israeli government, that any negotiation with these six world powers and at this particular time would probably not be able to produce a good deal, and there would never be any satisfaction with it. I think when you say any kind of deal, you're really meaning any kind of deal. There are others, however, particularly on the Democratic side, who are willing to look at the details. And that's true also of some Republicans. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Bob Corker has been among those who said, we can find some kind of terms that would give us a preferable situation. So Congress still has this power, either 30 days or 60 days, depending on when we see an agreement, that can review this particular detailed agreement once we get it. And really, a lot of what we learned back in April was preliminary. So there's a great deal yet to be determined before we see whether or not Congress can possibly swallow this.
Highway funding. At the end of this month, the government loses authority to send transportation funds to the states for highway repairs. We've been here before.
Oh, my. Yes, the Peter Peterson Foundation, which measures fiscal things in Washington, has determined there have been more than 30 different kinds of stopgap funding for the highways in just the last 6 years. So this has become one of those cans that Congress kicks on a regular basis.
And what do you think they'll do?
I think on this particular occasion, they're going to have to pass this again as a short-term funding gap, because the permanent solution, the long-term solution, involves getting some new revenues. They could raise that gasoline tax that hasn't been raised in 22 years. It's been stuck at 18.4%, and that could, 18.4 cents per gallon, not percent of the total amount that you're paying, but 18.4 cents per gallon. And if they don't raise that, they're going to have to look to something in the general funds again. And that, of course, just contributes to the deficit.
Well, I hate to do this to you. We got about a minute for the Export-Import Bank, which Democrats want to reauthorize. Conservatives don't. They want to chip away at government, they say, by ending it.
A lot of business-oriented conservatives actually like the Ex-Im Bank, and I suspect in the end they'll be able to get it attached to a must-pass bill and get it authorized again. But what it does is it authorizes payments to subsidize American products that are purchased by foreign entities, governments or private companies. And a lot of people on the libertarian conservative side, the really anti-government, anti-tax people, think that's a bad thing. They don't want the government involved in that. They call it corporate welfare. That's been a pretty powerful phrase in American politics.
Okay, well, you're going to be hearing about that in the next few weeks. Ron Elving, NPR's senior editor and correspondent, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.